This is Penn Jillette from Vintage Nudes Studio in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm here as always with Michael Goudeau.
Yeah.
And this is another one of those very special shows. We will have one guest for the entire time, and that is one guest that deserves much more than 1 hour. It is the future governor of Texas, which is, of course, just a stepping stone to the White House, Kinky Friedman, or as his business card says, Richard Big Dick Kinky Friedman. Is that right?
That's close.
Is that, yeah. What does it say, actually?
I think the business card now just says Kinky Friedman. We're being a little more gubernatorial if we can here, Penn. But.
And we know that Big Dick is not gubernatorial.
It's not really gubernatorial, no. But thank you very much.
You're welcome, Kinky.
And the voice coming in was Little Juford, who you you travel around with to say you're welcome. Is that right?
He also does a few other things, like many thanks.
You're welcome, Kinky.
Oh, very good.
Mucus Garcias.
Donata Kinky.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Kinky.
He's always right there.
Thank you, Juford.
You're welcome.
Did a fine job. Now, you're running for governor of Texas, and the polls at the end of last year put you where?
The polls put us, the Zogby poll puts us at almost 22% of likely voters, which no independent has ever done, which is, compare it with Jesse Ventura's 15% 6 weeks before the election. We're at 22% a year before the election.
Now, but and when one presumes you're going to go up from there. I mean, couldn't you go up?
One presumes that. Yeah. The problem is, I mean, I'm good for 3 minutes of superficial charm. So if I keep moving around, meeting a lot of Texans quickly, we'll be in good shape.
And what is the road that got you to governor of Texas? Where'd you start out?
Well, it's definitely a long and winding, rather tedious road in most respects. I started out, the question being, what made me want to run for governor?
The question being, what's your past like? What makes you qualified?
Well, I'm a musician. Uh-huh. I've always said Texas can better be run by musicians than politicians. I also feel it could be better run by beauticians than politicians. You know, I mean, as musicians, we're not going to get a hell of a lot done in the mornings, probably. But we're honest. And Texas has some great ones, as you know. And Willie Nelson is already very much a part of the Friedman cabinet, being honorary head of the Texas Rangers when I'm governor, and being my energy advisor as far as biodiesel is concerned.
And he's an expert on biodiesel, right?
Pretty much. The honeysuckle rose runs on 100% vegetable oil, Penn. And his bus runs across the country, paying less for fuel than most people do. And it's totally biodegradable, as you know, and it smells like French fries. The truckers love it. There was an incident, I think, in Colorado last month where a bear attacked a biodiesel truck because it smelled like French fries. So.
And bears love those French fries.
That's kind of the downside of biodiesel. But we've got to stop being slaves to the Middle East.
And where does he get the oil? Is it like he goes to Friolator's, McDonald's or something?
That's tough. No, he's got a place called Carl's Corner outside of Dallas that distributes biodiesel. As governor, we could very quickly have biodiesel co-ops all over Texas, though, I think. It's made quite easily. For instance, the whole transformation of moving to biodiesel is a snap compared to moving from leaded to unleaded gasoline.
Right, but when he's traveling around the country, because he plays outside of Texas, where does he get the fuel when he's in Minnesota, when
he's
in Vermont?
That is a very good question. I have no answer for that. I'll have to ask Willie.
Jack in the box.
That would be the ideal thing, is to just suck this stuff up from the McDonald's grease trap, because it can be even used vegetable oil, of course. It can be grease.
So McDonald's could just go right to...
That's correct.
Right to giving gas?
And that would be great, and I personally think that Willie and I can sell, not America, but Texas, on biodiesel. As governor, all the school buses would run on biodiesel. The latest studies show that 30% of the toxins that kids absorb come from the school bus itself. So if we got school buses and the state fleet on biodiesel, and Willie can convince 10 or 15% of the truckers and other diesel drivers to go to biodiesel, we will gas rates in Texas will start to drop.
How does it work money-wise? How expensive is it compared to regular diesel?
We don't know. No one's done it. So, I mean, we'll see. This will be a grand experiment. It's something we should definitely do.
Now, you're not only a singer, but also an author. and kind of a, in a certain way, comedian. Everything you do has been funny in some way or another. So what makes, what do you say to people who say, isn't this a little like Pat Paulson running for president? I mean, do you intend to win?
We definitely intend to win. This has gone beyond a joke. The people of Texas already know that it's not a joke. The politicians don't yet.
And how do you teach the people of Texas it's not a joke?
Well, they know that. They know, we've already jumped that hurdle. I think most people in Texas know this isn't a joke. They know that my heroes are not Tom DeLay or Gray Davis. My heroes are Mark Twain and Will Rogers, who are both comedians, mm-hmm. who are both funny. They stayed funny. And they were truth tellers,
but neither of them were in politics. I mean, if we had a chance today,
if we had a Will Rogers or a Mark Twain alive today, we would elect them in a heartbeat.
We would elect them in a heartbeat. Would they run in a heartbeat? Is there something about being that honest that keeps someone out of politics? Isn't the definition of being in politics is that you'd be a bad leader? I mean, I realize that's incredibly cynical.
No, you're saying just what Henry Kissinger said, that 90% of politicians give the other 10% a bad name. Mm-hmm. And this is correct. That's why the accidental politician, like Ronnie Reagan, or George Washington's a better example, John McCain's a great example. The accidental politician has a chance of being something.
Well, the idea of the country was that they would be all accidental politicians.
Right.
I mean, Thomas Jefferson did a lot of posturing about that. I mean, he would really want to go, but he would always go, no, not unless you make me. There was always the idea of that a gentleman would serve for maybe 4 years and then go back to farming, right? So your idea is to be governor for four years and then go right back to farming.
Penn, never re-elect anybody. Never re-elect anybody. And we go back to the Alamo here, and that's really where this all started. This is the cradle of Texas independence, and the men who died at the Alamo, I think, did not die so we could have a choice between plastic or paper, or so empty suits and empty dresses would be running the state. And the last governor's race in Texas was $100 million was spent to only garner 29% of eligible voters. That's all who voted, 29%. Now, all we're trying to do is get more people into the process to get that up to 39 or 40% or more.
Now, with Jesse Ventura, if I understood right, and I'm not the scholar on this, but he won because of non-voters. He won because of people that had never voted before and weren't in the polls. And I've always thought that one of the most patriotic things you can do is not vote. To not vote for the lesser of two evils is to at least not acknowledge evil, and that keeps you off the radar. So there must be people in Texas who never thought there was someone worth voting for before.
Well,
are you counting on them to come out?
You're looking at one of them right now.
You're a non-voter?
No, I have voted, but my record is only slightly better than Dick Cheney's at voting. I don't think Dick has voted in the last, when he was vice president, he hadn't voted in 14 years, I think, before.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think it's true. And I have voted a couple times. I was for Clinton, and I was for Bush. And I voted for myself when I ran for Justice of the Peace in 1986 in Kerrville, Texas, when my fellow Kerverts returned me to the private sector.
Now, talk about friendship. You say you're friends with Clinton. You say you're friends with Bush. What does it mean that you're friendship? I mean, how long does it take you to get either one of them on the phone?
Well, probably that would depend. George and I may both be distancing ourselves from one another. As his ratings are currently plummeting, I may be distancing myself a bit. But and he does not want to look like he's supporting an independent against the Republican.
Is that it? Is it not supporting independent, or is it not supporting a nut?
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, if he thinks I'm a nut, I don't know why he invited me to the White House and had me speak to his dad and all the people at Christmas dinner. And you know, I mean, and furthermore, I think the problem with politicians today is that they precisely lack a certain sense of humor, a certain craziness, a little common sense, you know. They don't seem like real people. And those are the people that we just got to get rid of every chance we get. Arnold had a great idea, which was to get rid of the politicians. And what I'm carrying it one step further, I want to get rid of the politicians. After that, I want to get rid of the Californians in Texas.
But you have had slogans like, Friedman, just another word for nothing left to lose. How Hard Can It Be, Read My Lips, I Don't Know, that could be seen as closer to a Pat Paulson or Alice Cooper or Howard Stern run than a regular.
You left out Willie Nelson's new slogan, which is, criticize me all you want, but don't circumcise me anymore. There's lots of possibilities there. I say that some people say I have a lot of one-liners. And I guess that's saying just what you're asking. And I always like to point out that Colonel Travis just had one line at the Alamo, and he drew it in the sand. And it was and it was at that moment that Texas was really born. And I'm drawing a line, too. I'm drawing it in people's hearts. And if they cross a line with me, we're going to make that Lone Star shine again.
Now, are you Texas or are you New York? I mean, you spent a lot of time living in New York, don't you?
Oh, no, I spent about 5 years in New York, and about five in L.A., and about a comparable amount in Nashville, and some time in Borneo and the Peace Corps, which is great, which is human experience, we call that, as opposed to political experience. Right. I come from a family of teachers. I'm very, very big. In fact, education should be the centerpiece on the table of Texas, because right now we're 50th in education, and the folks in Mississippi are saying, thank God for Texas.
Any thought whatsoever of going a little more libertarian and thinking that maybe education isn't the government's job? Are you sure that education is the government's job?
You know, you would be very good, Penn. if you want to reach a little further than what you're doing. No, I'm not kidding you, because that's what this is all about. And I'm being serious for a moment. It's dreaming bigger. The idea of me being governor is something that's now almost within reach. It's not an impossible dream. And you're really a constitutional and a libertarian expert. And if you turned your efforts just a little bit.
But you know.
You know, toward working for the people of Texas.
Texas
has a huge libertarian streak in it. Texan is an independent.
Texas may elect a country singer who writes funny novels, okay? Texas may do that, but the United States of America will never elect an atheist to anything in our lifetime.
I'm not suggesting that you run for office. I'm suggesting that you work with us I'm governor.
My question I ask on everything is the government the best person to do this? Is that the best job? Do you want to do it with violence, or can it be done privately?
No.
I think you can just trust people.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page, and that is that Hurricane Katrina, I believe, did offer a whole lot of suggestions. It showed us a lot. And one thing it showed us was that you shouldn't appoint somebody's roommate as head of FEMA. You know, that's a bad idea. The guy was doing fine until the hurricane came. He would have been okay.
Until he had to work.
Hurricane came through, and that showed us something. It showed us the difference between leadership and bureaucracy all up and down the line. There wasn't a Rudy Giuliani. There wasn't a Winston Churchill. They took a blind man out of New Orleans, leaving his seeing-eye dog in a flooded house. That's bureaucracy at its best, you know. And what I intend to do is to appoint the best people. Simply because they're the best people. Then I'm going to get the hell out of their way, come to Vegas, and let them work.
Why not have no FEMA? Why not have that work done by the private sector and by charity? I mean, there was floods that Alexander Hamilton and Tom Jefferson and all those guys, when people needed help, they talked about voting in some federal help, and they gave these impassioned speeches that said, let charity do it. Let Walmart do it.
Most Texans would agree with you on that. And another lesson we learn is, do not wait for anybody to come to help us. Don't wait for the feds. Look at the border. They're still waiting for the feds to come help us with the border. That's crazy. We got to close that border before we can open it again.
Now, you're against porous borders? You're against immigration?
Sure I am. I mean, our current policy with this governor, with respect, this governor's policy is, bring us your tired, your poor, your drugs, your bombs, your gangs, your terrorists. Welcome to Texas. That's just not going to fly. So we close the border, then we open it. Like when the Lord closes the door, he opens a little window. When that little window opens, everybody's going to be legal.
But what do you mean by that? How are you going to bring people in? I mean, your family, the Freedmans way back in history, did not come over on the Mayflower.
No.
I'm guessing that.
We're not at all against immigration.
Okay.
What I'm just saying is that you can't deal with a corrupt government. You can't deal with Vicente Fox and expect to do any good unless he's ready to carry his weight for the entire population of Mexicans that we are educating and giving all kinds of health services to.
But also they give stuff to us, too. I mean, people that are able to get into another country are hard-working people. I mean, if you have no other information about a person other than they were able to leave their country, come to a new country, and get started, That's a lot of information. A Texans, lot of people you don't want can't do that.
Like Californians, Texans count on Mexican labor for a whole lot of things. But the point is, right now the hospitals in South Texas are drowning. You couldn't get into an emergency room if you had to because of illegals. It's oil for education. What I'm saying is that Pemex is their big oil company, making billions from us every month. And they're kind of like Kuwait, maybe. They're a rich country that nobody realizes is rich because they don't share anything with their people. And maybe we need to tell Pemex that we're a few quarts low. Maybe we need an Israeli discount. We need them. We need to see, I was arguing this with Dick DeGuerin, who is Tom DeLay's lawyer and also working with us. And I told Dick that the last president of Mexico, Salinas, left the country with $3.5 billion, is living in Scotland right now. So you can't really talk to people like that. And then Dick told me that he said he was driving in Mexico City. He was in a taxi cab with a friend a number of years ago, and the friend opens a newspaper and says, "Good God, Portillo, the president, has absconded with $6 billion. And the Mexican taxi driver turns around and he says, "Now that's too much."
So you think that that Mexico can give us some of that oil?
Yeah,
in exchange, carry
your weight. The border's got to be. Yeah, you can't. The five Mexican generals plan is still a good one.
I want to hear about the five Mexican generals plan, but I want to hear about it in detail. So we're going to take a break and come back and then talk about that. And in the meantime, do you have any, before we wrap up this section, any quick slogans that we may have missed besides the...
Well, I've got the one the guy at the pig barn at the Texas State Fair told me a couple weeks ago. He said, "Kinky, you may not be worth a damn, but you're better than what we got."
And also tell that story you told me last night about the man's name who came up to you.
Oh, that's right. I'm kind of losing my hearing, so I have to think creatively, you know, and I don't mind it. You don't have to hear all. At any rate, so I met this kid in San Antonio, about an 18-year-old kid, and he told me his name was LaVon Tier. And I said, "What a great name." I said, "If my name was LaVon Tier, I'd be president of the United States." "What a great name, LaVon Tier, man. That's great." And he says, "No, I said I'm a volunteer." So that's the kind of thing that happens.
I am so close to being a volunteer. Poor Kinky Friedman. We're going to take a little break, come back, and he'll tell you the five generals. Is this your...
Five Mexican generals.
Five Mexican generals' principle for taking care of the border. Is that right? This is a Kinky Friedman platform that you will put in place when you are governor.
When I'm governor.
Of Texas. We'll be back. Okay, this is Penn Jillette, Las Vegas, Nevada, from Vintage Nude Studios with Michael Godeau. As always, we got Lou Juford sitting over in the corner, not actually having a microphone, but still in his puppet position for Kinky. And Kinky Friedman, who, if you were to be, the next governor of Texas, I think that my whole view, any little bit of cynicism I have about politics would go away. If the good people of Texas can elect you,
now you've got it. Now you've got it. This is the important thing. This election is transformational. It will put a smile, and when an independent wins in Texas, will put a smile on everybody's face in America, a little more giddy up in their step, and even more importantly, when we win in November 06, you're going to see blue bonnets springing up all over America.
Now, before we get to the five Mexican generals, which I want to get to, I got to ask you, Jesse Ventura, who is that's the closest to what you are, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Country singer, professional wrestler. You know, Peace Corps, Navy SEAL, a man who just was brought in by not the Democrats, the Republicans, but really by the people of Minnesota. What did he accomplish? Do you feel that made a big difference?
Well, I'll tell you, one man that can tell you a lot about that is Senator Dean Barkley, who was Jesse's campaign manager and talked him into running. And Dean is now our campaign director down in Texas right now, is running our campaign along with Bill Hilsman, who also worked for Jesse. And they say that this administration of Jesse's was one of the most corruption-free that Minnesota has ever had, and that it accomplished a lot, and a lot of things in the health area, a lot of and that the people that were appointed were great. It was a great administration. Jesse just he'd had enough of it. I mean, the media and Jesse didn't get along at the end of his term. And the way I describe it is, Jesse didn't realize that wrestling is real and politics is fixed.
And, I don't even know my Minnesota politics. Who went in after him?
Nobody anybody's ever
there
heard
you
of
go.
It. Just, that's the importance of an independent that can be. And it's just unfortunate. Jesse, like Hank Williams, like Daryl Strawberry, just kind of said, screw it. You know, I mean, he had had enough. And it's really, that's too bad. That can happen.
Now, Jesse also, I have a friend who's very good friends with Jesse, and said that the thing that stunned him about Jesse Ventura, and even different from, he was using as a contrast with me, he said that if you're talking to Jesse Ventura and he's walking up on the platform, he's walking up toward the microphone to give a speech, as he finishes talking to you and turns over and talks into the microphone, there is no difference. No difference in tone, no difference in style, often no difference in subject. The conversation gets continued for a larger crowd. He said there was no difference between Jesse as governor and Jesse sitting over your house having a Coca-Cola with you. And he was talking about me having a slightly different demeanor on stage than I have in day-to-day life. And you, as governor, are you? What parts of you are you hiding?
At this point, I think very little. As I say, most of the things, the skeletons in my closet are pretty well bleaching on the beach right now. I mean, everybody's pretty, I think, is pretty well familiar with my life, which was not designed for a politician. I didn't plan to run for politics, and no committee could have put me together.
Now, in your books, which I've read, I think most of them have the lead character, Kinky Friedman, use your own name, and use the name of your friends. And it's really a temptation to see that as you. Now, are you trying to teach the people of Texas that the Kinky Friedman, the fictitious character, is different than the Kinky Friedman's going to be their governor? Or are you happy with the character that's in those books being governor? Because there is some stuff that, out of context, they could put up and would be very unpleasant. I mean, you've quoted a few to me yourself.
Famous belching governor.
Yeah.
I think that that's a fictional character. It's a fictional detective in New York. Has nothing to do with Kinky the governor.
Well, that's something to do.
Well it does in it. As Bill Clinton has advised me, I think very wisely, to stay funny and stay positive and pick a few issues that right from my heart that I care about, like education and the border, say. Those are two good ones. And stay with just two or three issues. Stay funny and remember that it's humor that connects you to people in the first place. And I ask myself, WWWRD, what would Will Rogers do? You know, and Will Rogers, I really think, would do almost exactly what I'm doing at this point, which is to try to take Texas off of eBay and give her back to the people.
Now, there's that bio of you, a documentary. Was it Asshole from El Paso?
Right.
Is what it is? Yeah. Which, first of all, just the name Asshole, in a, you know, there's not a DVD that that Clinton put out that has the word Asshole in it.
Well,
not, there shouldn't be. There's not one that Bush put out. Do you think that just having a document with that name is a problem?
No. I think there's an editorial in this week's L.A. Times that points out that Laura Bush documents pretty well that she, at this dinner at Crawford for all these world leaders, was commenting that Soul from El Paso, she said, I'm a Soul from El Paso, was one of her favorite songs by Kinky Friedman and the Texas Jew Boys. The title really is proud to be an asshole
right.
from El Paso. There is a little. But I think the world has changed. I think a lot. And this is a whole issue. This is a question. Are there a lot of right-wing people are for Kinky and a lot of left-wing people are for Kinky? People that are tired, that think the Democrats and Republicans have let us all down and that feel that the only time they get off their asses is to attack each other. And they also feel that these parties are pretty much have become the same guy admiring himself in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was certainly no
difference. There's a lot of that all across America
in the last
right
few
now.
Elections. Now, I have always been a confirmed Clinton hater. I've always disliked him intently. I just thought he was a mediocre sax player. And that's all you need to know about Clinton. And the only time I ever believed he was telling the truth was when he said he didn't inhale. That was the only truthful thing he said. Because, you know, I've never had any dope in my life, never had any alcohol, and I know the kind of person that pretends to smoke dope to fit in, and that is the person. If you're going to be a junkie, be a junkie. If you're going to be a pothead, be a pothead. But faking, and I look at him and go, you know, I know he's the kind of guy, when they bring out marijuana, I say, oh, come on, you stupid deadheads. I don't want this lousy music or your lousy pot. Get out of here. And Clinton's the guy that goes and pretends to be smoking. Only time I believed him, I never liked him. I watched Soul from El Paso. You have that clip of Bill Clinton, and it's the only time I've liked him. He's genuine. He's honest. He's direct. Now, there's a good guy there. How come I never saw him except in your documentary?
Because he's a good guy trapped in a Democrat's body. That's why. That's why. That's
well,
the answer.
What I'm saying is,
he can't get out. He cannot get out.
I'm not going to pretend we're the closest friends in the world, but I've known you for a few years now, and every conversation I've had with you I've enjoyed.
But, Penn, you know almost everybody, and I know almost everybody else. That's what I figure between the two of us.
But are you going to go away if you're governor? I mean, will it be like Clinton that I saw in the White House, and that little glimpse of Clinton with Kinky Freeman that I liked? No. Will there then be that, like, oh, I'll go watch the documentary of the governor of Texas again and see when he was an asshole and not a dick?
Texas is ready for a hip governor. I think that the idea of you and Teller coming down and making my opposition disappear, as you once offered.
That's the problem, see.
That's a great...
I know, but it can't be done because we made the deal with Satan that we could only use our powers for evil. And since that's a good deed, we're not allowed to do it. I'm so sorry, Pinky.
Right.
But we do our best. Yeah, now, I think you got... How long does it take you to explain this five Mexican governors thing? Because I can go to the next section if you want. You got 3 minutes? You want more than that?
A lifetime. No, it can be done. It can be done very quickly.
Okay, lay it on us.
Because I also want to tell you about the petition drive, how that thing happened.
Okay, we'll get that in the next section.
All right, well, this is an idea of Joaquin Jackson. Joaquin Jackson is a famous retired Texas Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
He's my advisor on the border. He suggests dividing the border into five sections and appointing a Mexican general to each jurisdiction, giving each of them $1 million, which we hold in a bank in escrow.
Now, that's the general in the Mexican army.
Each Mexican general, we will hold $1 million for. We give them $1 million, but we hold that money. And
in escrow.
Yeah, and we withdraw $5,000 every time we catch an illegal alien coming through his jurisdiction. That's very simple. Now, when I tell that to people, some people blanch. They think it's racist. They would, some people love it. But the fact is, all that is saying is that we can't continue thinking politically and conventionally.
Now, how is that racist? How do they think
it's not racist? If you go down and talk to the Hispanics like I have in South Texas, they'll say what their main problem is. Too many Mexicans coming over here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they'll tell you.
So you give them...
What do we do with all these Mexicans coming over
here? But is it legal to hire a general in another country's army?
No, this is not... we're not talking about being nice here and having little teacups with Vicente Fox.
This will be an illegal operation.
It will be. So, I'm not saying it's illegal.
So part of your campaign is to do illegal things when governor?
Well, I'm not sure there's a very fine line between legal and illegal in terms of the greater good here,
The whole country is based on there being a line between legal and illegal.
Well, let me ask you this. What if we attack the coyotes? Another idea of Joaquin's. Go after the coyotes who are leaving people dead in the back of cargo mm-hmm. container trucks on Texas soil with a dirty dozen, with a Texas Special Forces unit, kind of like the Navy SEALs were,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't depend on the feds at all. It's just ours.
Uh-huh.
Now, that would operate a little bit more loosely and would make life very, very hard for the coyotes. That's a damn good idea. It ought to be done.
You're talking about hiring people that we don't know, non-elected people, appointed people, who you're going to put $1 million in desk. I mean, does that
That's
have
cheap.
To be?
That's cheap.
I know it's not. Oh, I'm not talking about the money. I'm not about the money at all. But I'm saying, I remember, a concert called Altamont. At Altamont, they decided to pay off their security staff with beer. Okay? That was their idea. Do things a little looser. And what you end up with is Mick Jagger on stage going, people, who's fighting and what for? People, are you going to be standing on the border of Texas going, people, who's fighting and what for? I mean, if you give $1 million to guys with guns and say you're going to take it back from them if Mexicans go across the border, might they get testy?
Hey.
Might they cross lines even you have?
I personally think it's crazy enough to work. Okay, now whether it's legislation or not, that's a whole other matter. Our legislature, of course, in Texas, has been so busy with cheerleading legislation that you've probably heard about trying to ban certain cheerleading, that they really haven't had time.
They don't have the names.
They don't have time to look into this. They really haven't had a chance.
So you're going to, we're going to come back right after this and talk about the petition drive. Some of you are listening in Texas. Maybe you want this man as governor. He'll tell you how you can help him become that. And we're back. This is Ben Gillette with Michael Goudeau at Vintage Nude Studio in Las Vegas, Nevada, on Free FM and part of Free FM. We're getting way political now, at least as political as we can get. And that's Kinky Friedman and Little Jufert sitting here with him. And Michael Goudeau has a quote he found on the web you'd like to read.
Sure. Kinky's campaign manager, Dean Barkley, also the campaign manager for Jesse Ventura, by the way, said this about Kinky. He said, people like him. It's very easy to raise money for him. Right now, we are outraising the Democratic candidate for governor by three times, and our merchandising is going through the roof. This may be the first campaign entirely financed by T-shirts and action figures. Everyone wants a piece of Kinky.
Is there an action figure?
There's a brand new talking action figure.
Now, how come I don't have one? You sent me all this garbage.
Because it hasn't got here from China yet, but you will get it. You'll get one in time for Hanukkah or Christmas. But the talking action figure says 25 things, and some of them are like, if you don't love Jesus, go to hell. That's one. Another is, I'm not pro-life, I'm not pro-choice, I'm pro-football. And a third one says, third thing it says is, I got a head of hair better than Rick Perry's, it's just not in a place I can show you. Well, things like that. That's the talking action figure. And we're hoping, and of course, you know, we don't have lobbyists and special interest group, and nor do we want them. We don't want special interest groups. Our only special interest group is really the people of Texas. And we're coming up against $50 to $100 million against us. I mean, this is going to be difficult.
Now, who is right now, who is paying these Ventura...
the campaign.
Help the campaign?
Yeah.
And you're getting donations? I guess what, Willie Nelson raised a lot of money for you?
Willie and Jesse Ventura, had a golf outing for us a few weeks ago that was very successful. And I was there, too, although I don't play golf. The only two good balls I ever hit was when I stepped on the garden rake. But that raised almost $200,000.
Oh, yeah, my wife is a heavy duty golfer, and if she hadn't been getting, if she hadn't been pregnant right then and not wanting to play golf, she was going to go. Because I said, you know, if you're going to play golf, you might as well give money to Kinky while you're doing it. So yeah. she wanted to play very badly. Hope there's another opportunity for that.
There probably will be. Willie's been great, and of course, you know, Willie and I, we don't agree politically on a lot of things.
Where is Willie's ball?
He is. I mean, he's the hillbilly Dalai Lama. I mean, he's a Texas treasure. But Willie is far to the left of me. He was against the war in Iraq.
You were not.
And I was for it. Mm-hmm. And we were arguing this on Willie's bus just before the invasion took place.
Smelling like french fries.
Yeah.
It smelled like french fries. Willie was smoking a joint the size of a large kosher salami on that occasion. And I became very frustrated arguing with him. And I said, look, Willie, the guy is a tyrannical bully, and we've got to take him out. And Willie said, no. He's our president, and we've got to stand by him.
So where do you stand on this stuff? I mean, are you you're not libertarian? Also on the religion stuff, I've got to tell you, you know, you're talking about keeping the Ten Commandments, bringing them back.
Call them the Ten Suggestions. look, Pam, before we can head off the religious thing right now, that is that the Terry Schiavo case laid all this open. That Terry Schiavo case about sanctity of life and all this sort of thing. What that required was an old biblical Jewish judge, like a Solomon, to go into the room with the family and say, family, we ain't leaving this room until we get our signal straight, till we're all together on this, because it's our personal tragedy. That ain't what happened. What happened was all the politicians scuttled up to Washington, including George W., to pass legislation on this Terry Schiavo case, which is in their arrogance, like the politicians are. They're arrogant. They think they can really help you. They can help your personal tragedy. And I want nothing to do with that. I'm telling you, I'm running for governor, not God.
But if you, then why not? I mean, just as a wild idea.
Why not run for God?
No, this is not.
That's after President God.
My idea is, why not follow the First Amendment and separate church and state? Why do you want prayer in school?
Well, I really disagree with you on that. I don't think it's church and state that has gotten rid of the Ten Commandments. I mean, the Ten Commandments have been fine. You know, they've been fine for this country. There's nothing wrong with them. To get rid of them.
And only four of them give you any advice on anything. The other six are all about have no other gods before me, don't worship false idols. It's all this jealous, violent God that you put up in the courthouse. They have nothing to do with justice. They have nothing to do with how people should act toward one another. They're all how to suck up the supreme being.
Don't talk to the other gods.
Yeah, that's
just
one of them.
Don't look at them.
Why do you want those? Why do you want those Ten Commandments? You want to go into a courthouse.
Dealing with you, you are the guy that got rid of the Ten Commandments. Because
I'm one of them, sure.
You're a Jehovah's atheist.
Yes,
you want everybody to be like you.
Nothing wrong
with that.
I don't want everybody to be. Of course I do. I don't want everybody to be like me. What I'm saying is, why does it have to be? Why are the Ten Commandments so great? Only four of them deal with anything. And what's wrong with adultery? You have committed it. You know you have.
No, I haven't had a chance to. I mean, I've never been married. I'm married to Texas.
I mean, there are times when you have had sex out of wedlock because I downloaded it on the web.
Okay.
I know you have. I know you have. There's no doubt. So those of us.
Just remember, I have affidavits from 2,500 sheep. But look, all this deal, you are the world's authority on constitutional crap and all this, and I'm not going to get an argument on that with you. Which really, I do think you could do something for Texas. No, I'm not kidding you. Bob Dylan is an honorary Texan.
The previous governor
made him one. I would make you an honorary Texan. You'd spend a little time coming to Texas in a focused way, working for the people of Texas in a constitutional way that would suit your abilities. You probably know more than you're like a constitutional lawyer on this. You know,
it's my hobby. Freedom is my hobby.
Well, running for governor is my hobby.
Now, what's the petition thing do? Because I know that in Nevada, they just the Democrats and Republicans just passed all these laws to make sure that you had to be a Democrat or Republican to be able to run. Now they're going to try to screw you.
Definitely.
With all the petition stuff. How are you going to get through that?
Well, Texas,
they're going to red tape you to death.
Listen, Texas is horrible. Considering that Texas is the Texas, the Lone Star State of all places. In Minnesota, you can register the same day. That's how Jesse won. So many people came and registered and voted.
Mm-hmm.
In Texas, you got to register a month before, see. So we're like, that really hurts us. Jesse wouldn't have won if he'd run in Texas back then. The other thing is, you need 50,000 signatures. We start this in March, the primary. The day of the primary, we begin collecting for 2 months. We have 2 months to collect 50,000 signatures. The problem is that no one who votes in those primaries on either side can sign the petition. Texas is the only state that has law.
You need 6,000 people a week, about 6,000 people a week
who don't vote,
that don't vote in the primaries. That's who you're going to sign?
That's crazy.
That's about right, yeah.
Man. Do you have a website, Kinky?
Well, let me tell you, kinkyfriedman.com has already fielded more than 30,000 volunteers.
Uh-huh. 30,000 volunteers, but you've got to get...
So they each got to get two. We've
got our work cut out for us, but I guarantee you, we are going to get more than 100,000 signatures.
Well, you've got to, because...
We got to, because they'll disallow everything. And when we get on that ballot, folks, at that point, you will hear that loud sucking sound that Ross Perot once described. And that's going to be all the Republicans and Democrats that are still sitting on the fence coming to realize I got a real chance to win this thing.
You know, that's one of the things that troubles me so much about politics is the electable candidate. I believe that the biggest problem of this country is voting for someone you think can win. The only way you can waste a vote is to vote. You don't waste a vote if you don't vote. And I think that people should not vote unless they actually are voting for a person they think will be best for the job. And that was the problem the Democrats had, I think. They kept doing that. Anyone but Bush. Anyone but Bush. Anyone but Bush. And that is a cynical, evil way to think. You should have somebody you feel good about. And you know something? I disagree with you on so many things, mostly because you're wrong about so many things. And yet, I think you'd be a good governor.
He's got it. That's it. That's it. No, that is it. That is why later Dean Barkley told me why Jesse Ventura got elected. They polled the people in Minnesota after the election, and they didn't agree with Jesse about anything. They just said, we like this guy. We think he's honest. And as far as me and Texas are concerned, we have a lovability thing going. And yeah. I'll tell you right now, Texas is a state that's a majority non-white, Democratic-leaning state where the Democrats can't get any traction. And the Republicans have all the top leadership positions in the legislature. They can't get any legislation passed. We're ready for an independent.
So you are not kidding. You're going to go for governor. There's not a joke.
Well, it's like I told Don Imus in the beginning, February 3rd in front of the Alamo, seems like years ago, I told him that I'm running for governor. He asked me why I was running. I said, because I need the closet space. But the fact is, I'm running because I don't like the direction our state has taken, and I want to try to turn it around.
Any big things? Legalized drugs, legalized prostitution? What do you got going there?
Well, I think the big things are just what our governor, with respect, is ignoring. He's dealing with gay marriage. That's his big thing. And Texas has just banned gay marriage for the 19th time, you know. And I feel that gay marriage is really obscuring. In fact, I have this. Can you see this pimple on my nose?
Who couldn't? Well, I mean, okay, your nose is huge, so but the pimple is a quarter the size.
I've told people that this is the Lord punishing me for supporting gay marriage. But I support gay marriage, and you're really going to like this, Penn. I support prayer in school.
No!
Non-denominational prayer in the public schools. What's wrong with a kid believing in something? If it's a tree or a rock, believe in something.
Well, yes.
Think about this.
Put in the schools that they can pray to rocks.
You won't find another candidate that supports prayer in school and gay marriage.
And you won't find another candidate that supports gay marriage and prayer out of school.
Listen, the parties tell these people what to think. That's all there is to
it. I know, and they shouldn't. He's getting hot under the collar, and they break out into a fist fight. But Penn Jillette with Michael Godeau at Vintage Dude Studio, the Penn Jillette Radio Show. Our guest for the full hour has been Kinky Friedman, who could be the next governor of Texas. Certainly is one of my favorite authors, a great singer, and a friend of George W. Bush and of Bill Clinton,
and of Penn and Teller.
You can be forgiven for two of those. You want to say something really quickly you said about
I just want to say, I want to reopen the Indian casinos that have been shut down in Texas. The Tigua in El Paso and the Alabama Cachada arbitrarily closed because of what Indians have done for America in time of war, and my personal hero, of course, Ira Hayes. So by decree, although Juford tells me a decree is something a king signs, not a governor, I will open those casinos on day one when I'm governor. And I just want to say one more thing about politics, and that is that politics is the only field, Penn. It's the only field in which the more experience you have, the worse you get.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that, isn't there? Is there? I mean, there's that feeling that the people with really good intentions end up getting sucked into this monster. Right. And maybe you need someone.
Give the Kingster a chance. It'll be good for Texas.
Just as nutty as you, who has that as inoculation. Maybe you're crazy enough to be inoculated.
Common sense, man.
I got that'll be coming at you.
I got a lot of common sense.
Well,
and
I wasn't going to go that far.
Well,
and if you want to know more about Kinky Friedman, you want him to be governor of Texas, go to kinkyfriedman.com. Go to the web, learn about this nut, see if he should be governor of Texas. Kinkyfriedman.com. Go there.
And it will be good. It'll be good for the people of Texas, good for the governorship, and good for the Kingster. It's a win-win-win if I'm elected governor.
And good for Penn Jillette, good for Michael Godeau, and good for all of Las Vegas, Nevada.
And may the God of your choice bless you.
On Free
FM. Of course, in your case,
there is no God. We're out.